It's been interesting, to say the least, about all the disasters that have been happening around. And if you've been looking at them in awe, as I have, saying how terrible things are, really. But the one amazing thing that always comes when they interview somebody who's standing there by what was their home, and they look and they say, well, we'll start over. Almost to a person in any of the interviews. Have you noticed this? And the other thing that has shown up in a lot of those interviews when they're talking to people in these various communities, well, doesn't it look like a terrible thing? Yeah, but we're going to do it together. And they say it over and over again. And it's there. I was raised this way. I think growing up on the Ohio River, we had a great many floods that I remember in my lifetime. And I can remember everybody saying the same thing. Well, we'll clean up and start over again. And that just became a way of life. You got rid of the mud and hosed it down and cleaned it up and moved it back and started over again. No problem. No problem. Usually working together. And that's the way I was raised. That's the way I grew up. It's the way my children were, and I'm happy to say that both of them really, through their lives, have been sharers, doers, people who wanted to go out and help and care for other people. David right now is just finishing up as president of the what we would call the Church Service Center. It's the food kitchen for the greater Wheeling, West Virginia area. And I'm very happy that he did this, doing something for others. And it's a theme, by the way, that we talked about this morning's dedication, doing things together, involving all of us as a church. And all of us means those who aren't here this morning. That's the important factor. All of us working together to do something that we should be very happy about doing. And they're going to be doing it at Forest Hills, I know. There's no church that's exempt right now from trying to find new ways of working together. Working together to accomplish something from nothing. Do you know there are more closed churches right now in our country than at any other time in our history as a nation? Closed churches. They didn't fail. They didn't fail. It's just that everybody got disinterested. They got disinterested in what was supposed to be taking place that didn't. Now, how can we work together to reinvent who we are and what we're doing and what we're all about? That's an interesting challenge, believe me. And for older ministers, it's very hard because there are a lot of traditional things that have made our lives what they are. But that's no longer applicable. It really isn't. It's working together for a common good and working together in new and exciting ways. And how are we going to be doing this? Well, I thought this scripture this morning is very interesting because I'm going to take a different tack than where it was. And if you'll open your Bibles right now, we're looking at a very interesting aspect of what it means, of really what it means to reach out a helping hand, an interested response of doing something. But it's a two-way street. Remember, if you're reaching out to help, there is a two-way street involved. Let's look at Matthew, the 14th chapter. I'm going to read verses 22 to 33. You'll note in your Bibles that this topic is entitled, Jesus Walks on Water. immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him on the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind and was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, truly, you are the Son of God." Great story. Remember, it's a great story because prior to this particular bit, look back up the page. Jesus just finished feeding the 5,000 with the few fish and bread that he had with him. They doubted about him feeding the mob with so little stuff. Remember, they doubted it very much. It could be done with so little ingredients. But Jesus helped them understand that the community of faith could accomplish great things, great miracles, if they really believed and if they worked together for a common good. After this miracle, Jesus sent the disciples across the Sea of Galilee, the lake. And he went up into the mountain just to pray alone, to get his thoughts together. Remember, he'd just gone through a terrible time. The murder of his cousin, John the Baptist. The trauma, really, of feeding the 5,000, because we don't read that between the lines, that had to be there. And what was expected of him in his ministry. And now we find our lesson with a bad storm, rough winds, stormy waters, and the human fear of drowning. Wouldn't you be in the same boat? Huh? You'd fear for your life. You bet your life. And the wind was rough. "Lord, Lord, come down from your mountain seclusion," someone was probably thinking aloud. "Why did he leave us in this boat and in this predicament? Why? Help us!" And like a ghost, Jesus appeared on the water, walking on the water toward the boat. I want you to note Peter's response. "I don't really think for a moment that I'd want to walk on water. I don't care how much my faith is at the time. I don't really think I'd want to get out of the boat on those waves and walk on the water. I really don't." And Jesus told him to come, and so Peter's words were adequate. And what did he say? "Save me." He was sinking. His faith wasn't strong enough either. I think the interesting point of this story really is, save me. Jesus can save me. You see, it was after that statement, after Jesus said, nothing. He calmed the storm. He calmed the problems. He calmed absolutely everything that was scaring the daylights out of these disciples. So much to the point that even though they'd gone through the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, and even though they'd gone through other miracles, what did they finally say? Truly, you are the Son of God. Son of a gun. This was an important step for these disciples. But you know, it's even a more important step, I'm convinced, for us as a church. To say this boldly about Jesus Christ. Truly, you are the Son of God. And I think, like Peter, we can probably say without question, save us! Save us from our predicaments. Save us from ourselves. Save us from our fears and our perplexities. Here's where Christ is opening up new doors, you see, in this story, to understand that we are together in all of this. We're together in the storm. And we're together in our journey, and we're together in working together. In working together. And we must be this way. Remember I said earlier that a helping hand is a two-way street, and I sort of brushed that off pretty fast. And I did it deliberately because the two-way street, you see, is not that Jesus doesn't save. It's our response. Our response. Do you accept it? Do you accept it? And don't go, Do we accept this salvation that Jesus Christ gives from the storms that life has always, always offered us? You can't fail, you see, as a church to reach out a hand to help a member, to help a family member, to help someone in the church, to reach out and say, yes, by gosh, I can help. Yes, I want to. Yes, I can do this. What Wendy said here, and what she said in her letter that you're going to be shared with later, is very true. The church is not a lonely proposition. It's not. It's a demanding proposition that you accept. Every single one of you. Like Peter. Take the chance. Get out of the boat. Jesus is there. You're not going to sink. You're not going to drown. You can't fail to reach out a hand. That's what Jesus is saying to Peter, and what Jesus is also saying to you, and what you must be saying to one another. Don't fail to reach out a hand to a brother or a sister to help or be helped. That's the way we are a community in Jesus Christ. That's the way we should be. All these puzzling antidotes that are going on with quick fixes for the church to get everybody reinterested in what? It takes a commitment to Jesus Christ. How frightening. You're going to gather here once more at a table. You're going to be reminded that Jesus Christ came and broke bread and said, this is me being shattered for you. You're going to be reminded again that Jesus poured out just wine, grape juice, It's a reminder that all of my life's blood, Jesus said, is poured out for you. And it's a reminder again that as often as you take the bread and the cup, you show my presence by that boat. Because I'm with you. I'm with you now and I'm with you always. Are you with me? All is ready with the elders. Join me, please. Now, the night he was betrayed by one, the night he was doubted by the other 11. All 11 doubted. And by morning, they even doubted more. What's going to become of us? That's scriptural. And Jesus was still standing by the boat. And the waves were rough, and life was terrible, and Jesus was there. Are you? Jesus took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body that's broken for you. Take it and eat." He took the cup and poured and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood that's poured out for everyone for the forgiveness of sins. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you show my presence. You show my presence You show my presence." O God, give your blessing now upon these common elements of life as we celebrate Christ. Life, ministry. Amen.